Every human being is born into your world, with many parts to be utilized along certain lines, but the trouble with most people is that they allow many of these God-given gifts to lie dormant, and only think of cultivating those which they imagine absolutely necessary to gain a mere livelihood. A man may be an adept in farming, yet have hidden and untrained faculties, which might enable him to grace the chair of a university, or soar to the highest pinnacles of statesmanship. Most of the great men of your world and those over here were poor boys, and had they neglected the God-given gifts that were given them from this side of life and were theirs, would have remained poor and unknown all through life, became great by the due development and culture of their faculties. Thousands of cases might be cited of men who commenced life in one direction and apparently with only one asset in the way of talent, but who discovered the richness of their birthright in time and realized it in their progress. Some possess talent for mediumship but never unfold it, and they go through life like a mariner cast adrift on the ocean with but one oar to propel and guide his boat. If he loses the oar, he is tossed about the prey of the winds and waves. With two oars he could have reached land safely. The man who is a millionaire of today will not be the millionaire in the spirit world, but will be a pauper. Bankers have had to leave their counting houses, merchants their desks, artists their easels and preachers their pulpits. Those who had trained all of their faculties were at no loss for a living, but the ones who had not cultivated their faculties were washed on the shores of oblivion. Faculties when not brought into play are as the undeveloped dwarf form and practically of no service. Experience and use strengthen, develop and confer stamina and resisting powers. Results can only be accomplished through experience and use. The best unfolded and developed medium is able to read at a glance much that the ordinary individual would take years to grasp, yet many of some commonplace persons may possess the same discerning faculties, only that they are dormant. The painter distinguishes shades and colors which appear but a blurred mass to the ordinary observer. The poet can scan lines of beauty where all is dull and prosaic to him whose perceptive reasoning has not been refined or developed to distinguish the gold from the dross. A child may be born with natural gifts, but they will never blossom and ripen into a full fruition unless they are tended and cared for. Experience is the sunshine that develops them and causes them to come to a full realization. Experience, as its name signifies, is a bringing forth of all that is within you to serve the purpose of it is aimed for. Experience is manifold, a complete educator, and deals with body and spirit, and brings forth the best attributes in life. The schools of the college do not bring out man's dormant faculties. The field of experience is as boundless as the universe, and only through the spiritual laws can you hope to reach this aim. Gather into your storehouse what will prove useful and lasting. What will sustain you in the combat of life and make you a brave and worthy man? Subconscious mind Michael Faraday. You will all realize that much of your valuable information and experience comes when the active mind is passive or asleep, or as it were, when your waking faculties are closed in with the walls of slumber. Some authorities will tell you that dreams are all nothing but astral visions or visitations, but it has been my experience to learn that only a part of them are such. Many things, persons and places will be visited by you in your sleeping hours, and these happenings are real, just as the occurrences of your waking state, only it is your astral body that carries you to these places in sleep, as your material body in the moments of wakefulness. Oftentimes the mind in sleep will experience, and the eye will see a panorama of visions, will visit certain friends, and this is invariably the action of the subconscious mind when these appearances are very swift and not very clearly defined. When there is a crowd of pictures going continually before you, and you go very swiftly and without reason to places of great distance, it is usually the action again of the subconscious mind. There are times when the subconscious mind acts on various thoughts of yours even in the waking state. There are also numbers of persons who even use the subconscious mind more than the commonly conscious. The souls of these individuals are more or less inspired, as they are more often artists of some distinction. They are always called the dreamers of the world by their fellows. The look of the distant soul fire is shining gloriously in their eyes. All their ideas are born through the ideal, while the prosaic mind only forms its ideas through clear-eyed reason. The subconscious mind dreams dreams which are never realized. Hypnotic demonstration must always act upon the subconscious mind, and most of the so-called wonders of hypnosis are simply the actions of the subconscious mind moved by the operator. Persons who are much given to somnambulism develop a certain lively action of the subconscious mind, and often their movements are foolish and aimless, but at times they display a great amount of speed and intelligence. Somnambulism is a phase of the subconscious mind's action that has been studied by many of the best scientific men in your world for many years. But aside from the mental demonstration of the subconscious mind, we can find no physical demonstration whatever. Much of the phenomena of spiritualism is said to be due to the subconscious mind, but if this is true, then all the phenomena of nature are caused by mind action simply. This, my friends, you will have to deny, and as the materialization of nature's garden is acted upon by the same laws as for more spirit materialization, then you will have to acknowledge that the subconscious mind has nothing whatever to do with the phenomena of spiritualism. Any result given by action of this mind force must first be conceived in the mentality and then generated into action when the subject is somewhat in an unconscious condition. The phenomena of spiritualism come from the elements acted upon by the intelligence of departed human beings. There is nothing more impossible than to suppose the action of mind alone is responsible. To suppose for one instant that the subconscious mind is in any way responsible for any class of physical or spiritual manifestation, is to suppose an impossibility. And those authors who have written and likewise spoken so much on the subject, claiming the subconscious mind as the true hypothesis for such manifestation, are only making excuses to clear away the right definition of a subject upon which they are woefully ignorant. You can gaze around you every day and witness the various materializations of nature, the flowers, the trees, the oceans thundering forth their mighty voices, the mountains arising in all their varied majesty, and the tiny rivulet that winds its peaceful way through pleasant valleys of gentleness and plenty. Watch the expression of all the glorious flowers and see if you can notice any workings there of the subconscious mind of man that are responsible for all of this life and beauty. Remember and always keep in mind that all materialization can but occur on the same law precisely, and so the same father-mother which is building the materialization of nature for you of earth to enjoy, so does the father-mother build the materialization of spirits and other manifestation, to enlighten you of the darkness of earth. We have oftentimes heard many persons on attending seances of any kind say, "Oh, well, it might have been the subconscious mind which caused those forms to float before us, as our power of thought might have caused that moving panorama of faces and forms to pass before us. That was all I think, yet it is the most wonderful thing I ever saw." Oh, the mind of man in all its vanity and folly, that it is at once more satisfied with a meaningless, soulless form thrown on the wall as the reflection of a moving picture than with the truth and blessed knowledge that these wonderful visitors are really in evidence to prove to us the existence of another life. They would much prefer any excuse that they might flee the further from the truth. Then there are some, indeed, who wish to sound very learned in the ears of their hearers when they prate impossibilities of the much-worn subconscious mind. They probably believe that only a few people have ever heard of the subconscious mind, and they will straightway enlighten them then, too. They sometimes think they will astound their hearers with their superior wisdom and explanations, and are vainglorious enough to feel proud of mystifying a few, if convincing none. My friends, in all earnestness and sincerity, you should all learn early in life to be justly proud only of a real truth, however simple it may be, for it is only the truth and simplicity of a thing which makes that thing cognizable. To know the real power of the so-called subconscious mind is valuable, but to overestimate it is folly, nothing short of childishness. We have now, however, some young authors who are coming up swiftly in the world who will set the people right on a great many things, for your present age on earth is one of righteousness and reason, veracity and truth, and the time is present when the people will no longer take the hollow, empty but high-sounding excuse for a thing, but will clamor until they get that thing in all its truth. religion of today and the past. De Witalmis, do you know that half of your population is not religiously inclined? They do not go to church, they have nothing to do with preachers except for weddings, funerals, etc., etc., and they carry on no religious conversation, but indulge in witticism about religion, churches, the Bible and preachers. It seems that the whole spirit of the age is turned away from their early teachings and turned to the earthly things as never before in the history of your world. The world is indeed worldly. This apparently religious lag may be explained by what we might call tired. There seems to have been an idea among the people that religion can be bought. In some places, religion has become a school affair. A boy at the age of 15 or 16 has settled all of the high, deep and difficult problems, and is either done with them, or bored with them. Religion has been made too much a doctrine. You hold it true, and you have religion, or you hold spiritualism to be true, then you cast religion aside. Religion has been a thing of compulsion to so many men. They tell you you must have religion and of a certain brand, otherwise you are a bad man and will be lost forever. As a matter, religion is looked upon by multitudes as a faith and superstition. And therefore, men are glad that they need no longer be troubled with religion. The kind of religion men need is one that will brighten their souls and make them better men in your world and in the spirit world. Do you know, friends, that physical life is short at best, and in that short space of time you know not where you are drifting. Some have a hope that there is a future, but they are not sure as to what the future is. Your preacher tells you there is a God, and that there is a heaven and a hell. How does he know? He has never been there and returned to tell worshippers of its condition over there. It is only a speculation with him, not knowledge, as it is with the spiritualists. The spiritualists don't ask you to believe what they say, but ask you to investigate and know for yourselves. This is the kind of religion the world needs. Egotism. Professor Huxley, egotism is a quality that has so largely enveloped the world of humanity that its grasp at the light of truth in any form has been overshadowed in their eyes. Have you of this circle ever witnessed individuals who are so constantly thrusting their ideas and opinions on others, trying to show the world the only way to do things? Many of the great reformers lost the heart of their God-given mission by being overtaken by egotism, that fire of selfishness which consumes and scorches to death all whom it touches. Some of the brightest brains on your earth have been so dwarfed and cramped by this monster that their owners but appeared as insipid and non-progressive barnacles that are always found clinging so closely around the same old log, that people lose sight of them altogether after a while. These people sometimes get great conceptions and many true conceptions, but valuing these conceptions so highly, they after a while get to believing that they are the sole possessors of them, and so they go out to teach the ignorant in a majesty of spiteful impatience at those who do not listen, and think them so very dull of comprehension that they are unable to see the wonderful points of scientific truths that they are trying so hard to put before them, when the real reason is that many times their listeners have not been overtaken with the disease of egotism, and have progressed so much farther along the same lines than their would-be instructor, that the lessons so long ago learned become irksome to listen to, over so many times again. You must all learn that each individual in life is but a student, and must learn the best lessons of life through his own personal experience, who is his wisest tutor at all times and in all places, and that as each personal being has different qualities and methods of understanding, that it becomes highly necessary for each one to learn the lesson, the same identical lesson in his own particular way. This you cannot change, and you can no more alter any of these laws than you can alter the great dome of heaven. And the liberal-minded will agree that as all personal beings being organized just a little differently, will naturally see scientific problems or any other matters both great and small, through glasses of a little different shade. But what matters it if we all love and reverence the same God if we chance to see him differently and call him by different names? Our methods of understanding literally amount to nothing so long as we are hand in hand with the truth of God. But the unwearied attempts of so many so-called great thinkers who are only endeavoring to make the people see a truth through their eyes and positively know others, are the egotists who will always have the same complaint, that the people are turning from their teaching instead of drawing near to it. If there is one thing more than another that will keep the ignorant in darkness, it is the persistent preaching of the wordy egotist. In all things, and to all people, teach your hearts to be merciful, kind and true. There is always a great deal more accomplished by the gentle and patient teaching of the real reformers who are willing to set a personal example of near perfection in place of so much wordy and worthless preaching. Whenever an individual thinks to turn all the people's minds in the channel of his own way of thinking simply by telling them repeatedly that they must believe as he does or they will believe wrong, he is not only disgusting them and hurting the much-needed progression, but he is so dwarfing his own powers of intelligence and attraction that after a little while the people get to know him and shun him as a real bore. God has given these bright minds inspiration and steady brilliance and also guards them daily with glorious bands of spirit messengers, to help them carry on a much-needed reform and teaching, and not indeed to waste their precious gifts in the ingression of vulgar selfhood. In all things be generous, it will not cost you any more, but will eternally build for you in the heavens. The man who is selfish never enjoys his gains although he may make money in a material way, for he is never satiated, and gaining becomes as a fever, a mania, and he loses all that he really has. He has never gained enough but will keep right on gaining until he falls to his death, a worthless egotist who has just by a hair missed passing through that awful of all deaths, the soul's death. The soul can never die, but it can suffer such shocks and tortures that it were worse than death, for it is still barely alive and can feel even though its feeling is that of a sickly invalid. All egotists have the same disease, no matter in what lines or what phases of life their egotism may plant them. We want you to so forget self in the making of others' happiness that you will so truly find your own as to be forever contented, and live daily with the dove of peace on your faces, the milk of human kindness in your smile and the God-given generosity in your purses and ready for those in need. In this line of development you will possess a certain unfoldment that will give you the dignity of bearing, the righteous appreciation of self and the true justice of thought towards your fellow men. Ah, there are flowers blooming all along the way of this road of perfect peace where no malice is, neither is there hate, where the interests are not contained in the mere satisfaction of personal selfhood, but where the hearts of humanity beat as one mighty vibration, all in all, and together. This situation will come to your world, but you yourselves will have to be the instruments through which it will be positively manifested. In all things be generous and know once and for all that your brother and sister mortals possess some little intellectuality as well as you. Appendix: A statement of the manner in which the dawn of another life was produced. This is to explain how it was done. The medium, W. Abba, being in an unconscious trance, spirits in material form came out of the cabinet in clear sight and hearing, wrote their subjects with a pencil on tablet paper, but mostly dictated by spirits within the cabinet and written by a spirit typist in full view of all in the room. There are several features in the production of this book worthy of careful consideration which will aid the investigator very much in his research. First, in the manner of its production, that is, without mortal agency. Second, it affords a demonstration of spirit return in communion with those in earth life. Third, the subject matter given is admirably adapted to the needs of the times and well calculated to interest and encourage the investigator. These features will be of immense value to the cause of spiritualism. To this statement is added the sworn testimony of the circle and the name and address of all the visitors who attended these seances. E. J. Circus, M.D. Revisor, Compiler and Editor. By order of Dr. Reed and Professor Denton in the Spirit World End, Index: The Dawn of Another Life 1. The Star Circle of the Spirit World 1. The Dawn of Another Life 3. William Denton 3. Preface 3. Spiritual Advancement on the Earth Plane and How It May Be Attained 3. Dr. Reed 3. The Destiny of Man 3. Wesley Abba 3. Evolutionary Unfoldment 3. Professor Michael Faraday 3. The Messenger 3. Robert Browning 3. And When Mine Earthly Eyes Did Close in Death 3. Spiritual Knowledge 3. John Pierpoint 3. Surcease from Sorrow 3. Lord Byron Aaron 3 The Divine Order of Nature's Laws 3 Emanuel Swedenborg 3 In the Development of the Spirit Child 3 Wesley Abba 3 Immortality 3 Wesley Abba 3 Spiritual Phenomena Explained 3 James W. Buchanan, M.D., Ph.D., Far 3 The Lonely Heart 3 Alfred Tennyson 3 The Need of Spiritualism 3 Lorenz Abba 3 The Life Experience in Part of Overa 3 Overa 3 The Materialization of Nature 3 William Denton 3 The Sublime Truth of Spiritualism 3 Wesley Abba 3 My Life in the Spirit World 3 Otto Butler 3 My Work in the Spirit World 3 Roy Butler 3 Mental Mediumship ITS Uses and Abuses 3 John C. Bundy 3 Love 3 Mary A. N. Evans 3 The Day of Reckoning 3 James Howard McConnell 3 The Other Churches 3 Rev. James W. Buchanan, M.D., Ph.3 Spiritualism Ancient and Modern 3 Drummond 3 Kindness 3 John Ruskin 3 Friendship 3 George Sand 3 The So-Called Dead 3 Moses Hull 3 Right Living 3 Emanuel Swedenborg 3 My Experience 3 Fulvia and Silvmere 3 Religion of the Future 3 Denton 3 Man's Possessions 3 Stephen Terhune 3 Science Spiritualism Theology 3 William Denton 3 Motherhood 3 Alfred Tennyson 3 Ambition 3 Corelli 3 The Unfoldment of Life 3 Professor Michael Faraday 3 The Philosophy of Soul Mating 3 Countess Lolita 3 Man's Fear of Death 3 Dr. Reed 3 Spirituals Fears and Conditions 3 Swedenborg 3 Order of Natural Causes 3 Dr. Reed 3 Gems of Thought 3 Dr. Reed 3 A Hospital Nurse's Experience 3 Pauline Frederica Strong 3 Confidence and Faith in Humanity 3 Dr. Reed 3 My Spirit Home 3 Your Sister Barbara 3 Labor and Desires in Spirit Life 3 Miss Janet Abba 3 The Awakening After Death 3 Stephen Terhune 3 Sincerity 3 Catherine Sehus 3 Transition 3 Lizzie Griff 3 The Bond of Family Love 3 Lydia N. Abba 3 Occupations in Spirit Life 3 Mrs. Janetta Barry Abba 3 Spiritual Journeys 3 J. H. Pratt 3 Prenatal Influences 3 Dr. Reed 3 Friendly Greetings from the World Beautiful 3 Dr. Barr 3 My Employment in Spirit Life 3 Jenny B. Hagen Jackson 3 A Greeting to Friends, A Message of Truth 3 George Omst 3 A Greeting to My Wife 3 Henry Griff 3 Knowledge of Nature 3 Faraday 3 Mysteries and Unseen Forces from the Other World 3 Professor William Denton 3 Life Worth Living 3 John Wesley 3 A Message from a Spirit Wife to Her Husband on Earth 3 Mrs. Mattie Seymour 3 Mrs. Mattie Seymour 3 Love The Being of All Life 3 Lord Noel Gordon Byron 3 A Message from a Wife to Her Husband 3 Rosa Miller 3 A Message from Harvey Mott 3 Harvey Mott 3 Harvey Mott 3 Opportunity 3 Denton 3 Death There Is No Death 3 Dr. Reed 3 Vibration 3 Andrew Jackson Davis 3 A Sketch Dedicated to Daisy Dixie Rogers 3 Dr. John C. Culver 3 Dr. John C. Culver 3 Peace on Earth 3 Lorenzo Abba 3 Religion 3 John Wesley 3 The Way of Peace 3 Dinah Maria Mulock Greg 3 Crime and Bloodshed 3 Thomas Paine 3 Ashamed of His Religion 3 Rev. James W. Buchanan, M.D., Ph.D., F.A.S. 3 Mediumship, I.T.S. Laws, Conditions and Results 3 John J. Ingalls 3 Spiritual Nature 3 Robert Fulton 3 Truth 3 T.J. Poe 3 The God of Nature 3 Dr. Reed 3 Dormant Faculties 3 Professor Denton 3 Subconscious Mind 3 Michael Faraday 3 Religion of Today and the Past 3 DeWitt Talmage 3 Egotism 3 Professor Huxley 3 Appendix 3 A Statement of the Manner in Which the Dawn of Another Life was Produced 3 E. J. Succus, M.D. 3 N. 3